Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the Tea Talk Time Show. Today is March the 12th, 2016, and we have a great show in store for you guys. And sorry, guys, I can't talk today. That is in store for you guys, and we will be open up, you know, for a wonderful discussion. Excuse me, guys. I know I sound a little bit nauseated today. That's because I'm getting over a cold, but the show must go on. So cold or not, we're going to be having a great show today. Last week, we talked about love, life, and relationship after divorce, whether it's possible. And yes, in our opinion, it is very possible to have a wonderful life and a fulfilling life and still find love after life and divorce. You know, I have my beautiful co-host here on the line with me, which is Dee Moore. Hey, Dee, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Good morning. Hey.
Good morning. I feel like it is Saturday night. Like, I have been up. It was only 11 o'clock Central on Saturday, but I have been up since maybe 4 o'clock, so I'm already 7 hours into my, like, what time would that be on a regular 8 to 5? 8 to 5, 7 o'clock, 15. It's like 3 o'clock to me. It's like 3 p.m., but at any rate, it is a beautiful, to me, a beautiful day. It's not as sunny in Dallas as I would like it to be, but I'm just now leaving downtown area. And, yeah, we had a really good show last week, and we appreciate the support, the continued support, and we are just piggybacking off of the momentum that we have been blessed to experience. This week's topic is very interesting topic to me. It is the topic or subject of debate for both men and women, regardless if you are in a relationship or not. Everyone has an opinion about their idea as it relates to submission, who to submit to, when to submit, and even most importantly, should or should I not submit. So today's topic, again, is generally about submission and whether or not we as men and women feel it is necessary, required, or even should be a part of a relationship. So I'm excited about today's topic.
Myself as well. And we gave it a catchy title, you know, because usually when you use the word submission, especially to women, our modern days women, they roll their eyes. So we gave it a catchy title. You know, we call it Get Your Own Plate. And, you know, like, yeah, you heard me. You know, sort of how they're like a back answer, you know, because as you said, they tend to roll their eyes. They all get on the defensive once that word submission has been thrown out. And I really think we really have to get behind the taboo of what we think that word means, because, yes, it has been taught in the past, you know, throughout our history and century, where it has been used in a way to bound women. It has been used as a way to silence them, to cripple them. But that's not what it was meant for initially. That's not what it was meant for, you know. So we have to go, in my opinion, to the basic and where the originality of the word came from. And it is a biblical word. And just to give, like, a definition of the word submit, the dictionary definition of the word means the action or fact of accepting or yielding to a superior force or to the will of an authority on another person. That's the definition of, I guess I could call it, the worldly definition of it. But, you know, if we look at it from where it originates, which it was ordained by God in terms of a wife, a man and a woman submitting to each other. And I say each other, it's not just for a woman to submit to her husband, it's also for him to submit to each other. And it is clear in Corinthians when he talks about we should submit one to another. So in terms of authority, it's not just, you know, governing to women or for just for us. It's for everybody. And because the Bible, it talks about why you should respect it and not really question it either, because he says they're, you know, the fault. It should, he's going to talk or he's going to deal with the just and the unjust. So if that person in any way, you yield to that submission, say, as a wife, and that person mishandle that authority, and the responsibility is going to be placed upon him and how he chose to deal with that. And that, and this is just biblical, that God said he will deal with him on his own of if he misuses that authority or mislead you as a family, as a household in any way, shape, or form. So, you know, I have no problem with it. I think as women, I think most of us are innately, by nature, is submissive. It's just, I think, it's finding that right authority figure or that person that you respect to submit to. And, you know, I don't know, Dee, you can tell me if you agree with or with my perspective, or, you know, can shed your own light since you have been in a long-term marriage. You know, like, how was that for you in submitting to your husband as a leader and the leadership in the household?
Well, I think it's very, first of all, I think it's very important that when you do decide to marry, that you realize, know who you're marrying, number one, and understand that the marriage is beyond the honeymoon phase. It should outlast the, it should withstand through all time. So many people get wrapped up in and jumping into marriage without really understanding and getting a real feel of who you're dealing with. Because I do believe that, there's no disputing the Bible. I do feel that, you know, you as a woman should submit to your spouse without anything the right word, but I think you know where I'm trying to say, without any hesitation. And I feel that if you have picked the right person, and no one, I mean, let's be honest, no one jumps into, I would hope no one jumps into a marriage knowing this is not the right person. I mean, sometimes people do it, but even if you convince yourself that this is the right person, hopefully in your mind you've made the right decision. So let me just preface that by saying that. So I feel that you if you feel that you cannot be submissive to your spouse, I don't see that relationship lasting. Not in a sense in which is going to be something that is enjoying or enjoyable or pleasurable. There's a book out by the guy who wrote the book, The Love Languages. So before I got married, we went through premarital counseling, not because there was something wrong, but because we wanted to do it right, or we felt that we wanted to make the right steps. So we went through premarital counseling, and we purchased the book, The Love Language, wrote a book, and it'll be on our website as far as the title. I just can't remember the correct title, but it says, men want to be respected and women want to be loved. And it basically speaks to what is most important to both of the sexes based off of his research. And I spoke with my husband at the time and said, hey, you know, is this, yeah, that's it. You know, we read the book and it helped build and strengthen our relationship to the extent to where I was like, wow, I wish I would have found this book beforehand. So we did the premarital And we did the love languages. And then, of course, of our marriage, when things got a little bumpy, I sought out that same author and found that book. All that to say, what I learned in my marriage was it is important, or at least in my marriage, it was important for me to take on a less aggressive role and to be submissive. And a lot of people do not understand submission does not mean, for a woman, does not mean that you go and hide under a rock, that your opinions do not matter. It does not mean that you cannot, have a difference of opinion or disagree. Being submissive is beyond just your verbal communication and interaction with your spouse. It goes beyond that. And it shows a level of respect that I feel that men desire and need to have, as much as we desire and need to feel loved and protected. So I think that a relationship without submission is doomed to fail. Because a man, to me, for me to respect a man as a man, I have to know that he can lead. And if he can lead, he can be my man, you know? If he can lead, I can respect him. And if I choose him, I acknowledge that I'm going to follow his lead. Because hopefully I made the right decision. And I'm not trying to sound redundant, but hopefully I've made the right decision. And the guy or the man that I chose to be with, that he is leading me in the right direction. Now, if he's leading me off of a cliff, am I going to follow that? Absolutely not. So I do feel that you do follow with discretion, however. But it's very important that people pay attention to who they pair up with and match up with. You know, I can be very submissive to the right individual, and that person has to be right for me. And, you know, it goes with choice and being selective. I wouldn't be with a man that I feel like I have to be the man in the relationship. It diminishes attraction to me. If I have to be the man and I have to lead, why do I need you? Then it leads to me not respecting you, me not honoring you as the man that you are in the relationship. And then it gets to the point where I'm obviously outwardly disrespecting you. And if I'm not respecting you, you can't love me the way I need to be loved. Because you're not getting what you need from me. Exactly. So that's my overall take on it. I think it's essential. I think it's required. I feel that if you can't be submissive to the guy that you're with, that's probably not the man for you.
And it's interesting that you brought up a point where you're saying, when you said, if be chosen wisely, and if that person, you know, during your courting or dating process, if that person is someone that you don't respect, and that person is someone that you can't, it's like you're in a pushover relationship. You're the dominant, personality in that relationship. You throw your load of tantrums, you to get your way, or you do this immature way that I see a lot of people handle relationship. They don't speak to each other and stuff like that, and he gives in. Like, that is a man that is not a leader, and to me that is a man that's going to let you have your own way and not to. So to me, like, a man like that, I couldn't, with my personality, I could not necessarily submit to. And I think sometimes women married men like that, and that's why they think that they can't submit, or they have a problem with the word submissive or whatever it is. But I always have to look at it, as I said, because submission, it takes humility. It takes humility. It also takes prior, and it also takes you relying on that, you know, I guess the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it, your moral compass, all of that type of thing inside of you, in order for you to understand what the word means and exactly what it entails, the breakdown of it, the interpretation of it when it comes to a marriage, and not what the world look at his ass, because I think that's what a lot of the problem is, and women roll their eyes and they throw their hands up every time that word goes out because, oh, Lord, here we go again. Because we constantly we look at relationships from a worldly perspective instead of looking at relationships from where it was ordained and what it was meant and who created us to be in relations and what he meant for us to be. And I think if women start looking at it from that perspective and start understanding that, then they wouldn't have this defensive and this wall when it comes up to when they hear the word submission or talk about being submissive to their husbands. Because even, you know, I know we all were in Sunday schools and you hear the Bible stories and stuff like that. It doesn't mean it's not devaluing neither you nor your husband. You're both valuable. None is in a lesser power or authority than the other, in my opinion and understanding of even reading the Bible. Because when I look at even Jesus' relationship with his father, he was submissive to his father's will for us. When he came here on earth and he lived amongst us and he did all of this, that was in submission to his father's will. For what his father intended for us for our life. So I use that example to say it is not, and it's the same meaning and the same governorship when it comes to a husband and a wife. It doesn't mean that one is any less than the other or you're devaluing any of the sexes. It's just understanding authority, understanding structure and how it works. And the bottom line is a lot of us that we roll our eyes, we go to a job every day at 9 to 5, and we submit to the authority of our bosses, and we submit to the authority of many different aspects of our life, for a paycheck, for fame, for whatever it is. We submit to even things we don't like, things we have no desire for, just to get what we want. But for some reason, when it comes to relationship, we get on the defensive and we roll our eyes and, oh, that's never going to be me, and I won't do that. And I just don't get it when we do it every single day. A lot of us that go to 9 to 5 jobs and we don't like our jobs and we don't like our boss, but we talk behind their back, but we have to do what we are told. We have to submit to the mission statement of the company. You sign off in paperwork that you're going to abide by this rule and this regulation. You have to show up a certain time, leave a certain time, take vacation a certain time. We submit to so many other things in our life. Why not? Cannot we not understand what, you know, submission is when it comes to our marriage and relationship, when you choose the right partner and what it means in terms of that? That's my thing that I always ask them.
Well, in all fairness, as respect to that analogy, when it's harder and it's scary to give up that type of control or power, because in a relationship as compared to a working relationship, because mm-hmm. when your emotions are involved, that scar, that pain, you know, the damage is deeper than, say, for instance, being submissive and following the rules at work and being submissive and doing what you're supposed to do at work. If you don't, yeah, you may lose your job, but it's not an emotional type of, you don't get the drawbacks. Because a relationship, you're giving up a lot when you decide to, quote unquote, be submissive. You're giving up, and I don't look at it as giving up a lot, but people that have a problem with it look at it as giving up something major, giving up control. I think a lot of times it has to do with either what they've seen in their home, you know, as growing up. Maybe their household did not have a male figure and they don't know how to be submissive and don't understand mm-hmm. that submission is not you do what I tell you to do and how I tell you to do it. Maybe they don't have the right example or have an example at all. Or maybe in their home life they did see that and they did see a man abuse that type of leadership role. And so, again, their idea of what submission is skewed and off. Mm-hmm. So the idea of submitting based off of either what they've seen as a bad example or what they have not seen may make a woman cringe at the idea of being submissive. I come from a family of strong women that were married, but strong in the sense to where some of them were strong to a fault, to where they ended up divorced. They did not know how to speak to their husbands, and the relationship, you know, ended. Could that be the reason that it ended? I was young, I don't know. But I can tell that that probably was not a positive factor, or was probably a contributing factor to the end of their marriages. I also have strong women in my family that knows how to yield to their husband. So I think when people or women understand what it means to rightfully submit and accept the fact that it's not you giving up your power, I think we can then move towards women being more open to being submissive to their significant others. You're not losing anything. You're just accepting and respecting the decision of the man that you are. You placed at a very important role in your life. If I trust you enough, like for me in a relationship, I have to feel safe. I have to feel like you have my back, that you're supportive, that I can depend on you just as much as you can depend on me. And if you have that, there's no reason why I should feel the need to hold on to anything if I feel that we're on the same page and you're looking out for me just as much as I'm looking out for you.
Okay.
But, yeah, I honestly think once people understand, and not just the women, because I know we're talking about the women, men also have to know what it means to have that role in which you are the head, you are the leader, and know how not to abuse that. Because it does take a lot for a person to be willing to go on the passenger side and let you drive. You have to, as a man, I feel like you have to be mature enough to handle that role and that. You also have to acknowledge when you don't know that maybe I'm not leading us in the right direction and try to put us back on track. But the most important thing that I see a lot of times where women that are open to be submissive to their husbands or to their fiancés or what have you is when you have a man that abuses that privilege. It can change a woman completely to where she's like, never again will I ever trust anybody in that capacity. So I think it goes both ways.
And that's what
I know it goes both ways.
Yeah, and that's what I was referring to when I said that there's actually a very specific scripture in Corinthians that talks about that, where he tells the wife not to argue or not to, I guess, get defensive in terms of if he takes the lead or she thinks he's making a bad decision, because that's where the Bible was talking about that God said he will deal with him. You know, he will deal with him on that decision that he makes, because he's supposed to be the head. And if he makes a decision that is bad or that is not going in the direction or a proper direction, as he said, he will deal with him on that aspect. And it's difficult for you to, you know, for you to, I guess, to subscribe to everything, because I know a lot of people don't even seek out the Bible for relationship advice or how to even govern the relationship or how to have a good quality relationship in a marriage, which they should. Dr. Chapman, actually, a lot of his research, he's a Christian. I don't know if you knew that. A lot of the research that he wrote on books, because I own a copy of one of them, is all biblical reference. That's where he got most of his research and finding from. And to be honest, a lot of the books that we read, they just don't like to add the Bible to it, because for some reason in our society we get freaked out about that when people talk about the Bible or reference the Bible. A lot of the information that a lot of them have about the secrets, I can go on and list these books. The fundamental of what they're talking about or what they're teaching us is biblical. You can always find some reference to it in a scriptural way of what. So that book that you love that you read, a lot of it Dr. Chapman got from reading. If you read the Corinthians, Genesis, Peter, Matthew, all of those books talks about relationship from a man and a wife perspective and how he wants us to govern our relationships and deal with each other in terms of submission. And, you know, and he talks about it being, as you were saying, it's a sacrificial decision. It is for the women and is for the men too, because as I said, we think it's just governing to us, but it's governing for both of us. We're supposed to respect each other. We're supposed to, you know, it not lessen the value of either one of us. It's just that he was created to be the head of your household. And as Dee rightfully say, you have to, in your courting or dating stage, there is going to be telltale sign whether or not this person have leadership quality or whether you know you can trust this person or you can be led by this person. And if you're seeing those signs, then I wouldn't suggest you marry that person. I really wouldn't suggest you do that, because you're going to have issues throughout your marriage and throughout that relationship. And Dee is absolutely right. You can't have two. Back home, we'll say there can't be two bulls in one pen. It's the same thing. Two bulls can't reign in one pen. You know, it has to be one. You can't have two people trying to rule and two people. There has to be one leadership. It's the same, you know, even our country is governed under leadership. There's one head, and then you have the supporting parties or the supporting people that is underneath that leadership. It's the same thing to me in a household. So there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not quite sure why we freak out about the word or we look at it like it's such a bad thing and or their men are trying to imprison women or we're trying to silence them and all of that type of stuff. That's really not what it's about. It's about each other respecting one another. Or, you know, I think Dee better verbalize it. A man wants to be respected and we want to be loved. But you have to give up one thing in order to have the other. You can't have both. You can't be bullheaded and it's my way and I'm going to throw a tantrum and I'm going to not speak to you and it always has to be my way or the highway. And then you don't, and then expect that you're going to get that love out of him. Nobody wants to love somebody that doesn't respect them or doesn't trust their leadership or dictates or question every single decision that they make. It, you know, it doesn't work that way. It really doesn't. At least I don't think so. And as I said, I can give out scriptures all day.
And it's also hard reverse for on the backside for a woman to be submissive when she's not receiving the direction and guidance and the love that she desires. Is hard. It doesn't make it right either way. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, but it's something that has to be worked upon. It's something that if you didn't grow up experiencing it
exactly.
Or witnessing it in your household, and I know some people who, I mean, you never really knows what goes on behind closed doors of your relatives or your friends or family, but you've seen it where you'll have a seemingly healthy setup where you have mom and dad is always there, mom is always there, supportive, and then one of the kids end up in a horrible or different type of relationship. Somehow they missed the importance of the dynamic and was not able to duplicate it in their own personal lives. Sometimes our parents can have a great, or as parents, we can be great examples. But if we don't teach and communicate to our children about the fundamentals, they may grow up with the wrong idea or impression, thinking that, okay, well, this is easy. My parents was together for 50 years or 40 years, so You know, without that instruction, we're really not, we're just providing merely an example, not necessarily teaching them the blueprint on how to maintain and to manufacture a wonderful relationship. But yeah, I completely agree. But again, it goes both ways. It goes both ways. You have to be willing to submit as a woman, and as a man, you have to be willing to understand that you are placed in a position where you are the head. My ex-husband had to explain to me biblically how it works. Like, he pulled out the Bible, and it was like, I am the head of the household. And I'm like, okay, you know, that's cool. But it went further down to submission. I always kind of felt a little bit, when we had that conversation, we were already married. And I was like, okay. And at that point, when you're open to it and you're looking for a better, deeper relationship with your mate, those scriptures that you hear at church, they start having a profound and deeper meaning. The idea that, oh, I'm not going to submit, I'm not going to bow down to no man, that idea disappears if you truly believe in the word and you listen to the word, and there's nothing that anyone on the outside can say to contradict the word. At that point, it made sense to me. You can't take pieces of the Bible and decide what you're going to allow to apply in your relationship or in your marriage or not, because at that point you are not really building or developing on a strong, solid foundation, because you're taking bits and pieces. Yes, he's my husband, but he don't tell me what to do. And again, submission is not him telling you what to do, but having an idea that I'm not going to be submissive can have negative consequences in your marriage, in a healthy marriage.
Yep, I completely agree. And as you said again at the end, I want to, because as I said, I know when you use the word, women roll their eyes and they look at you crazy and all of that, as I said before. But it's not somebody telling you what to do. It's about structure. It's about governorship. It's about communication. And if we have to study it from the original concept of where it came from and what it meant. And as I said before, it's not devaluing any of the individuals within the relationship, because you have to also make sure you're picking the right person to be able to lead you. And you're going to see those signs, as we said before, pay attention to the dating and the courting process. If you're a person that, you know, are able to push over on some, and you tell them what to do, and as I said, you do the whole nine yards and you get your way, obviously this, you're in a relationship with a man that you cannot possibly submit to, you know, because you're always getting your way. Everything has to be your way. It has to be how you want it done and how, when you want it done and all of that stuff. And if you don't get it, then, you know, you do all the other stuff that I'm talking about. Even that's the article that I found, that the man said a lot of women use different tactics. They use manipulation. They use silence. They use the pouting, you know, the tantrum, all of those things to get their way and all that stuff. And if you have a partner that gives in to you all the time, then obviously you're not in a relationship with somebody that can possibly lead you, because you're not going to have any respect for that person. It's like listening to what's her name the other day in her interview. What's the singer name? And she was like, if she's in a relationship with somebody and you can't tell me what to do, you can't tell me what to do. And she was like, that's when I know you're not the man for you, because you're supposed to be able to say some stuff to me and I'm supposed to be able to understand and get what you're saying. And she said, and sometimes be silent. I can't remember. She's like, Jill Scott. It was. And I see it circulating the other day, too, over social media. Long after I watched the interview, because they were like, she made a good point. If you're in a relationship with somebody that can't even tell you what to do or talk to you or give you any instruction, then, you know, what are you in that relationship for? And then she was like saying, if I can run over you and you can't talk to me and I can just have my way, then what are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as I said, I can give you biblical scriptures all day and night on it, on this and how it and how it's supposed to be. And as I said, I can use even the greatest example, our Savior. He submitted to his Father, to his will, to come down here and live amongst us and for the greater cause. So it, and it was not in a, the devaluing way. It's just something. It's a term of leadership. It's a form of respect. It's a form of honor. And as I said, every woman wants to be loved, and every man wants to be respected. So you just have to find the partner that is that you can respect, and the person that can love you, because you have to give one in order to get the other back. And that's just my perspective on it too.
We have a caller. I'm not sure if he wants to be identified or not, but I will
read
what he's saying. And this is a person that I have a lot of respect for, who has been married for a number of years, beautiful wife, beautiful family, and he's just an all-around great, great guy, great, great person. He says, sometimes we have to take into account the past.
Mm-hmm.
There may be relational baggage that both parties need to work through before committing to a marriage, which is true. He goes on to say, in my marriage, we have relational structure, which is important. I am accountable to God. My wife is accountable to me. Being I'm following God, she trusts my leadership. And that did not happen overnight. It was earned over time.
Mm-hmm.
And I completely agree with no one comes. We all have baggage when we get into relationships. We all have, whether or not we allow that to interfere with our, you know, our current situation, a lot of times we are, when we're meeting and trying to court, we're dealing with some of the issues, or we have in our back of our mind some of the things that we've dealt with and experienced in the past from other relationships. And when we're merging and we're, you know, meeting this person and we think this is the right person for us and we decide to go ahead and enter into a marriage, you know, you definitely have to, and I honestly feel that you have to not expect that person to be perfect, but understand it is a work in progress. Things aren't always going to be perfect. There's not always going to be an issue, but things aren't always going to be perfect. And once we work through some of those things before you commit to being married, I think it allows that relationship and that marriage to flourish. I think a lot of times people jump into marriages without working on their issues from the past. And I completely agree. He said he starts off with saying sometimes we have to take into account our past or maybe relational baggage that both parties need to work on before committing to a marriage, which is true. You have to deal with whatever you have going on before you even jump into a relationship, let alone a marriage. He goes on to say, in marriage, we have a relational structure. You do need to have a strong foundation.
Yes.
Because at that point, I was talking to a good friend the other day. I hope she's listening. She had recently, you know, ended a really long-term relationship, but the foundation was very, very solid at the beginning. Then it started withering away, and then outside influences allowed a lot of issues within their relationship. Other people's opinions started mattering more than her own opinion or his opinion or what was going on, and it essentially allowed the breakup of their relationship. But structure, if you have that structure, there is nothing that can come in to mess up what you have going on. He goes on to say that I am accountable to God. My wife is accountable to me. I know that no relationship can withstand without God being the focal point.
Mm-hmm. And that's the main thing. See, that's the main thing, because once you understand the structure in how he ordained submission to be, is that what's what I was saying, that he said, even if you think he's making a decision that is not right, he says not to question it, because he is accountable to him and you're accountable to, your husband is accountable to God and you're accountable to your husband, God says he will deal with him. He will deal with him in the decision that he's making if it's not in the best interest of your family and that union, because he's accountable to him because he put him in that position. So it's, you know, it all has to do with the structure, and I'm glad that point, you know, that caller made that point, because I think I got the same thing that you got. I was trying to read it. It was so long, but it's a valid point. If you understand the structure and if you're with somebody that is a man that understands that he's not only accountable to you and the decision that he's making in that relationship where you're going to respect him as a leader, as your house, but he's also accountable to God. So he has to be a person that has some fear of God and knows what he's doing and sit under the right governance for you to even respect it. So you can't just marry or date any old body and think that, oh, I'm just going to submit. That's not how it works, and that's not what God is telling us to do either. And I think that's the point that caller was trying to make. It has to be done under the right, in the right way and under the right structure, just like how you said, Dee, you and your husband. Even before the marriage, you guys went to premarital counseling and you got books on submission and relationships and all that type of stuff. So you have to be dealing with somebody that knows what marriage entails, know his role in the marriage and your role before you guys even get there and before the submission and all of that comes into play, you know, along with taking into account, we did the show before on baggage claim, on the issues that may be coming into the relationships. There's nothing wrong with seeking counsel or advice and talking about any issues or things that you think you may need to work on too as a couple before you get to that point, you know, and getting that help.
This is the same thing that Megan Good and Devon Franklin
did. They went to counseling first too. They did the same thing, like what you and your husband did. They did the same thing.
And they made it a very important point to basically say that, or to acknowledge that we have to take care of what we're coming into relationship with, whatever issues. And
exactly.
They want to make it, say that, understand, just because you go through these lengths, does not mean that you're having problems. A lot of times people go to counseling because they're having problems. Or you hear people talk about work on your past baggage, people having in suggestion that there's a problem. And that's only because we're programmed to go and act when there is a problem. When I have a toothache, I'm going to go to the dentist. If I'm in pain or I have the flu, I'm going to go to the doctor. You know, but what happens, or a lot of people, when there's stuff not going on right in their life, then they want to go to God. Well, a lot of times when you're waiting to the last minute care of an issue, instead of consistently doing your routine checkups, sometimes when you call for help, so much damage has been done to where there's really little room for success of recovery. You wait too long on a bad tooth, instead of going and get your checkups and your cleanings and doing your maintenance, then you go to the dentist, it's time to get that sucker pulled out. You know. You know, so with that being said, we have a lot of things that people need to do on the beginning before we jump in and start saying, okay, we got a lot of work we need to do on the inside before we jump in with someone else. And then be open to being submissive. If you trust him enough, and if you trust yourself as a man to lead this woman, and if she trusts you enough to follow your lead, chances are you can. And I mean, there's more
ingredients to a successful marriage in the courtship. You know, obviously my marriage didn't work out, but I did learn how to master and understand the importance of submission. And I will say that was something that was really good that I did learn through my marriage, was to understand the importance of that. We have a caller on the line. I'm going to go ahead and allow, I'm going to stop talking. Because I'm in traffic, so
Well, I'm going to unmute a caller with phone number ending in 2903, and he's going to go ahead and give his perspective on what we're talking about, which is, even though the title is Get Your Own Plate, yeah, you heard me. We gave it that catchy title because we know how people feel about when they hear the word submission. Everybody gets their panties in a bundle. You know, it's, oh, God, trying to tell women what to do. But it's really not that. But we're really talking about submission as it relates to relationship. So we're going to hear from a male perspective on what he thinks submission means, and somebody that also has been married before, you know, no longer married, but was married before. So he can give a perspective from what that was like in his relationship, if that was one of the probably the issues that he had or was a difficult issue, and, you know, now probably even the dating process. And Gary, welcome to the Tea Talk Time Show. How are you?
Hey, I'm fine. How are you, Miss Stacy? You doing all right? Doing pretty good?
I'm good. Say hello to my co-host, D. Moore. D, this is Gary. Gary, my friend. D.
Hey, how you
calling
doing?
In on the good. Thank you for calling in. Go ahead and give us your perspective on submission.
I mean, you know, when I think of submission, I think submission as being more of a, it's more of a compromise. It's more of a. I'll submit and compromise to you or with my partner. But I, you know, I do have a stand in this, and I can stand firm against, or I can stand firm with. So it's kind of like, do you understand where I'm coming from? I understand where you're coming from. Either we are with or we're against whatever it is that we're doing at the time. I mean,
but overall, Gary, like say in you know, you were married before. Overall, in your. You know, because I understand what you're saying about compromise. That's like if you guys are trying to make a decision. But overall in the marriage, how would you say that, you know, submission works throughout the marriage in the overall grand scheme of things of the relationship?
Yeah.
Not just when it comes to probably talking about who's going to take the garbage out or who's going to wash the dishes tonight.
Okay.
I mean more in the sense of the leadership in the relationship.
Right, I think overall in the grand scheme of things, submission worked really well. It's a give and take thing, but you know, and you know, the submission part of it, I think worked really well, and it needs to work. It's really important to have it in your marriage. I think it'll make things a lot smoother. You know, a lot of less arguing. I think that, you know, when you submit, that's a way of, it's a love language. It's a way of showing love to your partner, and letting them know that you do care about their feelings and the way things are done. It gives the other partner gives them room to be themselves as well as be in the relationship. I mean, it's a major part of relationship, marriage, so to speak, for it to work. There has to be some submission going on both sides. So I think it's important. In the grand scheme of things, it's very important.
Let me ask you this. So right now, you're not married, correct?
Yes, correct. Correct.
So,
I'm not married. I've been divorced for 8 years now.
Okay. Okay. So would you said it worked in your relationship. And let me ask you this. Would you, I don't know how to word this, make it sound like I went to school. would you be open to a relationship with a woman who completely was against the idea of being submissive to any man?
I think, you know, I mean, honestly, I probably wouldn't at this point, only because I've learned that there are certain things that I need from my partner, and in order to get those things, there has to be a level of submission there. So I don't think that I would at this point, only because I've learned from my first marriage. I've learned how important that was, how important it is to submit. You know, it, like I said, it's a love language that I have to have. So you know,
I like that fact that he's saying it's a love language that men understand. So.
Right.
I'm going to tweet that later on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't think that I would be open. You know, and some people, you know, they're willing to sacrifice certain elements, certain facets of a relationship in order to attain or keep certain, you know, other elements and other parts
right.
and facets of a relationship. So it is a give and take. But for me, ultimately, I got to have it. I got to have it. Just because of my spiritual belief tells me we need order. And, you know, so I don't know. That's just my
well, I completely understand that and I completely agree with that. Some people, it's not that important because maybe they've never had it as far as a man. Maybe they've never had it and experienced it. I think it's hard, would be hard to go back accepting what you consider less once you've experienced or once you long for it and never had it. And what some women need to understand, I think is good coming from a man, what submission is not. Submission is not that you're somebody's, you know,
doormat.
Servant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Doormat.
Government. Yeah, that's not what it means at all. That's why I was like saying it's important for us to get past that taboo or, you know, what we think it is. Every time we hear the word, is somebody telling you what to do or bossing you around or, you know, as the catchy title that we gave it. So get your own plate. That's not what it is. It's not what we're talking about here at all. We're talking about in the grand scheme of things of that union, in that relationship. Of how the structure of that marriage should be.
So, Gary, you do agree it's not the you do what I tell you to
do.
That's
no.
not. So a lot of
that's
times, women.
The caveman mentality, knock her over the head
right.
and drag her by the hair.
The caveman mentality. It's not a you do what I say. No, that's so far from it. No, that's not it at all. And actually, like I said, it goes both ways. It's a language. It tells your partner that, you know, you love and respect them and you respect their space and you want to cater to their needs as well as you want your needs met. You know what I'm saying? You know, there's a lot of things that come out of submission that you receive as well.
Mm-hmm.
Being the giver and not always the taker, you know. So there's a lot of little things that goes with that submission. And some people take it, you know, further and they venture off and take that submission word, you know, a little bit further. Ultimately, like you said, in the grand scheme of things, it's something, it's a language, it's a love language, it's It's a tool that has to be used, I think, in a union, in a marriage.
Well, there you have it. Thank you for calling in. Definitely appreciate your insight. And you women that are listening, you heard it from one of our callers, a man who basically states that, look, it's not me telling you you need to clean up this kitchen and don't speak when I'm speaking and lower your voice. You know, it's not that. It doesn't come from an ugly space. It's trusting him to make the right decision and stepping back and allowing him to be the man that you chose, you know, and being submissive to whatever it is. And it's not a, what you call that, precursor to abuse, or not open up and allow a man to mistreat you. It's just saying, hey, baby, I respect you. I respect your decision. And I will submit to you as you submit to Christ. And I follow your lead. And like I said, you heard it from, you know, we're women, obviously. So we can only give you perspectives in our own experiences. But it's always good when we do have a male caller that calls in and gives us, you know, his perspective. And it allows us to open up this type of dialogue and maybe open up someone else's eyes to something that maybe they never discussed or considered on a serious level. So, Gary, definitely thank you for calling in.
Thank you, Gary. And we're going to take one more quick call before, you know, just to get another opinion. I think this is, but phone number ending in 1907. And you can go ahead and give your point or perspective on the topic.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Dee. Good morning, Stacy. And I also want
to... Good morning, love.
Good morning. I just wanted to say real quick that Gary's words were very great and eloquently said, and I agree with him. And I'm going to come from a perspective not of being previously married. If my cousin was still living, I would love for him to chime in because we had a great synergy regarding to the word submission. I'm going to come from a place of being an executive to several mega churches in New Jersey in the past and seeing a lot of people go through counseling and working on some marriage packages that help them do, you know, pre-counseling before marriage. I was very intimately involved in that. So, and I'm excited about this subject because I was just talking about this the other day, so I'm going to make it real quick because I took some notes just so I could, you know, really capitalize on some of my beliefs. And as a Christian, when I look at this scripture in Colossians where it says, wives, submit to your husbands as it is fitting to in the Lord, and husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh to them. And that was the rules from God for a Christian household. So if you're a Christian and you believe in what God speaks in the Bible, and I believe the Bible is an action, you know, it's a verb. The entire Bible to me is a verb, and you could put all those commands to action. God would not steer you in the wrong direction. And if he set up rules for your household and put it in his Bible, it is for a reason. And one reason for me is, as far as the word submit, I'm not afraid of anything that God speaks. So when he says submit to your husband as it is fitting in the Lord, my first thing is when I decide that this man is going to be my husband, then I ask the Lord, how do I submit to him? What is it that you want me to give unto him? Because that's going to pour blessings into our household because I'm his favor. When you look at the scripture in the Bible that says he who findeth a wife findeth a good thing and the favor of the Lord, we leave out that part of that scripture so much. So it is my duty to God before even my husband of me saying as a woman, I'm a very strong woman, extremely, but I would submit to my husband because if I know that he's that one, my first question to God in my prayer time when I pray for my husband and when I cover my family is, God, how is it that you want me to submit unto this man? Because I want to bring in the favor that you have for us as a family, because now we're one. So me submitting to him is almost like submitting to myself in a place of vulnerability. I look at the word submission as vulnerability, because then when you look at the Bible and it says in all things get understanding. So my first obligation is to understand what God is calling for this man in his life and what he's calling for our family, and how am I the conduit in that? Because as a woman, I am the intuition. So when you submit, I believe you're submitting in a place of vulnerability, in a place of saying, you know what, I need to know how my intuition is going to help him and steer him, because he's going to be able to see that he can love me like he's never loved any other person in this world. This is why you leave and you cleave unto one another, what God speaks in the Bible, so he can love me faithfully. He can love me with a peace. He can love me without reservation, because we're going to be harmonious in what it is that God is calling for our house and our union, so we can bless this earth and everybody that comes into our atmosphere. So for me, that's how I interpret it. Now, we all interpret the Bible different, and like you said earlier, both of you, so greatly, that if you come with a lot of baggage, you come with a lot of things that you haven't laid down and let go, so you can be totally aware in the present, you can't hear. You, and some people can't even hear from God because they're so clogged up. And I'm not saying they won't ever hear, but I'm just saying they're so hardened by the past, you know. And one thing and this is what I want to leave you with, anyone that's listening to this morning, and it's such a strong topic for me, because I've seen some young couples be extremely successful. I've seen some older couples crash that should have had more wisdom. And it's because they don't go into a place of prayer and supplication to God and trusting him. And one thing I can say is that I had always been extremely the matriarch of my family at a very young age. And when I decided to marry, I asked God, could I trust him? I didn't ask him, because the Bible says trust no man. And so I went to my father, who loves me and guides me, and I'm the apple of his eye. I'm his daughter. So I went to my dad, and I said to him, can I, you know, and he said, trust me. And go. And I really heard from God, and I married him, and I submitted. And then our marriage fell apart, but I wasn't mad at him, and I wasn't mad at God, because there was something that I had to learn from that. So I let anyone know, when you've hurt in your past or you go through something or you've been through things, live that moment one time in your life. Don't repeat it in your head and say someone's going to hurt me again or something's going to happen again, because if you continue to repeat it, you're hurting yourself more, because you only had to go through that experience once for a reason, and that's why we have to let things go. So I would definitely get married again. I would submit to someone that I love, and our marriage it fell apart from the reality of outside forces, and I understood that, and I understood why I had to let go. But when I was in my marriage, it was amazing, and I would say that 100%. I had to let go because of things I couldn't control, and I had to go to prayer about that as well. But I tell you, if I woke up every day happy as a wife. I made more money than him, and I was happy and excited about my marriage, because it had nothing to do with my husband. You know, what God was blessing us with, you know, that was a part of my favor. So I know some people struggle with that as well. But I was happy. I was ecstatic with everything that God gave me in this man, because waking up next to him made me a better woman. And even being divorced and him passing on shortly afterwards, it still made me a greater woman, because truly, to this day, because I submitted to him, I haven't let anyone love me as amazing and as wonderful as he did, even with all his flaws. And that's what we have to look at when you say, I'm going to love you for better or worse. Can I take on his worst? And am I okay with it, because he's going to take on my worst? And if we're going to love each other based upon our strengths, submission will be something that you'll be glad to do, because it brings forth a blessing and a bounty that you will never, ever experience. And even post-divorce or death or anything that may happen in a marriage, you can be in a place of peace and love. And that's what I want to share with you, because God has always given me peace and love, because I go to him first. And that's all I wanted to say.
Okay. Well, well said, Trevelia. Amen. I felt like we just had church. This is the moment you pass the offering basket and drop the mic. But I am over here. Amen. But, you know, I agree 100%. I get it. You know, we have the same kind of thinking. And as I said, you know, when you were calling out the scripture, when we first started, you know, as I told thee, I have this whole bunch of scriptures. People just try to look at it. If we get out of the world way and the world way of the word and actually study it and the Hebrew meaning of it and where it comes from, then we will understand exactly, you know, that God rules and law is for protection. It's not to harm.
Yes.
And, you know, he tells the husband to love your wife as you love the church, meaning you're going to give her everything that you give to me, give it unto her. So when he's telling you to submit, he's not telling you to submit to any old fool, but in the courting process, you have to make sure that you are picking the right person to submit to. That's where it starts. If you're in a relationship with somebody, it's a pushover, and you can have your way or tell what to do, and everything goes your way. And, you know, as I was telling Dee, this article that I found, this guy talking about the different tactics that women use, and men give in to it, you know, the manipulation, the silent treatment, all that type of stuff, then you're in a relationship with a man that obviously is not a leader and you're never going to submit to. So you might you may not want to even think about even marrying that person. So, you know, but everything that you said, I am in agreement with you. It was well said. I cannot say it any better. I know we're over the time of the show, but it's worth it. You know, I appreciate the input, the calls, the support, and even for the people that are listening online that are sending us that message, that guy that brought up I think that was a male that brought up the whole thing about baggages. Interesting enough, we had a show a few weeks ago about baggages that we bring into relationship, sometimes unknown or even known to us, that helps to break down the communication, which is very important. You have to discuss these things, too, in the courting process. You know, how do you feel about submission? What is your perspective on it? You know, how do you think that should be structured and governed within a marriage or a relationship that is potentially going to be a marriage? Because I would hope that we're dating on purpose, that we're dating for, you know, that you're seeking your husband here, you're seeking your mate, not just something to do. So, you know, that's pretty much, I think, all that I have right now with the time boiling down. I know Dee is in and out. I think she's probably got to her appointment right now. So if you guys are not hearing her, that's because she's in a noisy place right now. But she's listening. She's still on the line. But thank you, Trevelia. That was well said. And Gary, as I said, I'm going to use that tweet. Submission is a man's, what is it, a man's love language? What he said? So I'm going to be tweeting that out too. But, you know, it's always, we like to have these discussions and these, when we come up with these topics, as we said, the whole purpose of our show and for us doing what we're doing is to open up dialogue and it's to open up communication for women and men, for us to come to a better understanding each other, of communicating better and get past some of the stereotypes and, you know, the preconceived notion and assumptions that we make about each other and all of that, so we can, in the future, have better relationship and more successful relationship than what we've seen is happening right now with divorce rate being so high, and we can't seem to get an understanding of each other, you know, and lock out the outside influence, as Trevelia said. People think finances is the number one cause of divorce. I beg to differ. Most of the people that I've talked to that have been in marriages, it's outside influence. That is one of the main cause of their breakup. Nothing to do with finances. Finance is probably like number two or number three on the list. But, you know, so that's the only little nugget that I want to take out there, is just opening up the conversation and the dialogue and talk about these things in your courting process. If this is somebody that you see the potential, that you want to become a partner with in life, that you want to become your mate, and the point that Dee was making about not waiting until you have the toothache before you show up to the dentist, but actually, you know, go into counseling first if you think that's the person, you know, like what she did with her husband. They went to premarital counseling, you know, once you decided that this was the man that she wanted to lead her, that this was the man that she wanted to marry. Don't wait till when you're in the marriage and the problem comes. They bought relationship books on submitting, the love language, all of that. They did all of that. And I believe Megan Good and her husband, Devin Franklin, did the same thing too. They went to counseling to talk about different issues that they both had from previous relationships before they got there. So I am all for doing all of that. You know, don't wait till before you jump the broom, then you start doing all of that stuff and you're trying to apply the principle when it's already too late. So, you know, hopefully everybody has learned something. I know I have. Continues to send us text message, tweets, instant messages, whatever it is on different topics too, and things you want us to see that you want us to talk about, or any perspective or point of view you think we may have missed, or anything you may have disagreed with. We're open to suggestions and others' opinions and thoughts and experiences and what they have learned and what life has taught them. That's it, guys. So, you know, thanks again for all our callers, for everybody who chimed in, everybody who's listening, for taking the time out to spend their Saturday with us. Once again, we love you. We appreciate you. Continue to support, to continue to share your thoughts with us. And we're here every Saturday morning, 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. All their media tag is the same. It's Tea Talk Time all across the board, social media, Facebook, and all of that. And, you know, we have an upcoming surprise and little things that we're going to talk about. And Gary will be on the show to discuss that on the next show, since Gary was late this morning calling in. But we'll give an announcement about that later on. And I know I had a little bit of surprise for you guys, but it's coming. Just wait for it. So with that being said, have a great evening, guys. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to you guys again next week. And we love you and appreciate you. And on behalf of Dee, she's in the dentist's office as we talk about dentists. We'll talk to you guys later, and, you know, have a fantastic weekend, and we'll see you guys next week.